All right, guys, we are here live on the gimmick. You guys won't know how late I am because this will get posted tomorrow. We have a big week coming up for wrestling. We're gonna preview the NXT pay-per-view. We're gonna go over the Hall of Fame today. We're gonna recap Raw. Raw wasn't much to recap. In all honesty, I just felt like it was a quick fix shit show. You know, and Ryan, we talked about this. There hasn't really been a good go-home show previewing up to WrestleMania in the past, let's say, 5 years, right?
I can't remember the last time there was a decent one.
Yeah.
Raw had a few things that I liked, but for the most part, it was pretty lackluster. I thought SmackDown was much better.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, SmackDown was much better for their go-home show, considering that SmackDown is now SmackDown-a-mania for the preview, for the pre-show now. Just still feel like, I don't know, Raw's doing something wrong. I mean, a lot of people like to easily blame it on Bruce and Vince, but there's still something missing there. It's not just Bruce and Vince. There's Raw just hasn't been consistent, and it also, like, I don't know, there's just something missing. I can't explain it, and I don't want to just put the blame completely on Vince or completely on Bruce Pritchard. I just think there's something missing because Bruce is responsible for a lot of great content in the WWE. So I don't really want to put the blame on those two. There is something else missing.
Yeah, there's... No matter who's running the show, there's been a long reign of SmackDown as a superior show.
Yeah, I think it started right when they did the Shane and Stephanie got Raw, and Shane got SmackDown. They did that big split and everything. That's when SmackDown really started to get a full head of steam. It was almost 4 years ago now, right?
I'm terrible with time, man. It feels like forever ago.
It does feel a long time.
If it was 10 years, I'd believe you too.
It's been a long time. So, I mean, I don't know what it is with WWE. I think lack of competition of recent memory. There's no legitimate. AEW is not a legitimate threat to WWE, and it's a great alternative to WWE, but it's not a legitimate threat. And I think that's why you're still getting the shitty Raw content. that's until something actually becomes a legitimate threat. I don't know. I just don't see it getting better. You know, maybe hiring some new writers would be good, but I can't explain it. To me, it was just, I will say this. I'll give credit to Bad Bunny. He's really putting in the work. And I watched an interview with Triple H, and he said that once he committed to this, he rented out a house in right down the street from the training facility, was at the training facility every day. He said a lot of people are going to think Bad Bunny's first bump is going to come on WrestleMania. He's been taking bumps for about 3 months now.
Yeah, I was really kind of like impressed with his promo on Raw. I thought that he was believable, and it was kind of almost didn't reflect too great on Damian Priest, the fact that somebody who's not a wrestler came in and kind of outshined him in the segment. I mean, he had his little piece at the beginning, but I thought Bunny was very believable.
Yeah, I've gained a lot of respect for Bad Bunny. Like, at first, I'm like, oh, you know, here's another gimmick. It is what it is. But I've kind of gotten excited for this. Like, now that it's a tag match and the way it should have been, I know they were waiting on injuries with Priest and Morrison, and it's one of the highlights on WrestleMania Night 1 for me. I think it's moved up. That's probably the only good thing that came out of Raw for me.
They've done a good job. Like, I know the purpose of bringing someone like him in is to you know, draw his fans to the WWE, but they've done a good job of making me not necessarily a fan of him, because like I didn't necessarily have the best impression of him before he came into WWE. I didn't know much about him, but like I wasn't a fan of him, and I still am not really a fan of his music. But if I see him come up in the future now, I will think of him in a positive light because of the stuff he's done on WWE. So it's kind of been like a
All right, we're back. We're gonna have to cut and paste this episode. But we were in the topic of Bad Bunny. You were talking about how you look at him in a positive light for him at this point. If you want to continue your point, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like they've both probably gained some fans out of this, because I may not listen to his music, but when I see him in the future, like you said, I'll just I've gained a little bit of respect for him.
It's like the Derek Jeter effect for me. I'll never root for the Yankees, you know, never, but I will always respect Derek Jeter for what he's contributed to it. And for this, like, I kind of respect what Bad Bunny's doing and how he's taking this, you know, how seriously he is taking this and how it is actually a dream of his and he really wanted to pursue this. So kudos to him. I'm happy for him. And they got me excited for a match that I was probably going to be, le I thought I was going to be least excited for. But Braun and Shane have really taken that cake.
One thing that I didn't enjoy about the Bad Bunny thing was the earlier segment with Miz and Morrison and the Bugatti. Like the WWE constantly dips into the playbook where they just use the same gimmicks over and over again. We've seen so many things done with cars, and like don't insult my intelligence with painting finger paint on a $3 million Bugatti. And like they were even going out of their way to make sure they didn't get it like on the interior or like anywhere where it wasn't going to be easily wiped off. It's just like, you just did a freaking huge deal with Peacock. You got billions of dollars. Pour the damn paint in the interior or something.
Yeah, dude, yeah, buy him a new Bugatti. Yeah, they've done that a few times. We've seen it a bunch of times with the cars. I didn't like that segment as much, but I did like them jumping Bad Bunny and him them actually giving him some a receipt and some heat for you know, for when for Miz getting punched in the face by him. You know, other than the car thing, I think overall it's a decent story. And I'll refer to this again. Unlike the Braun and Shane steel cage match that I'm, or as I like to call the Dabo Kato match, because that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I thought Strowman's promo was decent. I mean, he showed a lot of heart or whatever, but like as far as the content of it, it did nothing for me with the whole bullying thing. And this was just still stupid to me. But it was interesting to learn. I saw this week that this is the second cage match in WrestleMania history, aside from Hogan and Bundy.
Yes. Hogan and Bundy was the only cage match in WrestleMania history until now. And at this point, I think, as far as Braun's promos go, I think he's done a phenomenal job for him. And Shane is a very subpar job for what, you know, usually what Shane does. I'm so. Braun Strowman is not the reason why I'm not excited for this match. I'm not excited for this match because of Shane. And, you know, a lot of people are sitting there saying, you know, I'm pretty active on TikTok, and I see a lot of people saying that Shane's going to jump off the pirate ship. And I'm like, it's a steel cage match. That's Kevin Owens' spot. Let's not take that away from him.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people saying that they think he's going to do some kind of cage spot, which it seems obvious. And it just the whole thing kind of feels forced and just juvenile. And Shane's been sloppy with his lines, and don't know. It's kind of been insulting.
Yeah, it has been. You know, I think we're fully expecting WrestleMania 1 to kind of be the dud out of all of the shows that are coming up with NXT's two nights. WrestleMania, the day two, day night two of WrestleMania looks incredible. But night one, you got some matches that you should be excited for. They absolutely just destroyed McIntyre versus Lashley for me. That's another thing. Like, I was so excited that Bobby Lashley won the title. Then they break up the Hurt Business, and now they got to make Bobby a heel to appease Drew so he can get the pop at WrestleMania. And I didn't like that. Just whatever it is. I'm pretty sure that every wrestler is just going to be happy to hear a reaction when they come out to the ring.
When they started off Raw with Drew and Bobby, it started off decent to me. I thought that Drew had one of his better promos. I thought Bobby did a decent job in comparison to last week. But then when they brought Corbin out, it just kind of was a downer for me. And then, like, when they were had the audacity to like suggest that Drew wouldn't make it to Mania because he had to face Corbin when like he's beaten Brock Lesnar, like. You expect me to believe that McIntyre is not going to run through Corbin? Like, give me a break.
Yeah. Well,
It was just a bad ending, all like for a go-home show.
I still think the end game is Samoa Joe at Mania. I think Samoa Joe helps Lashley retain. He's making subtle comments, especially he made the subtle comment during the McIntyre Corbin match. It seems like he's cleared. I know he's put on some weight. He's got to get in the gym, but I think we're fully because I think Cedric and Shelton are gonna. Just my theory on this: Cedric and Shelton are gonna try to be involved to help Drew, and then I think Samoa Joe's gonna come out. Like Samoa Joe's gonna, cut them off and help Lashley win at some point. I just, I don't think Corbin's the end game here. I think Corbin was a bridge to what they want to do and save the pop for Joe coming back from Mania, hopefully, but you never really know.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I did think that Bobby and Cedric had a really good match on Raw. And as much as it hurt to see the Hurt Business broken up, I thought that they all did well moving on and doing the best with what they had to work with.
I agree. I even thought the Sheldon Bobby match last week was good, and Bobby's not a bad wrestler, and neither is any member of them. I think they're all great in what they do, respectively. But I'll also go out and say, if you're gonna break them up, it better be for something big. It better not be for something, something subtle. I go back and forth. This is the one title match I really can't predict. All signs could point to Bobby retaining, but then I can also see them putting the title on Drew, just because they want to give him that pop with fans. And I just it's kind of confusing to me on where they're gonna go with this, but they can go either way. I don't think there's gonna be too much disappointment or backlash with it.
I'm a little nervous for Mania as far as the crowd reactions. I feel like some of the builds or the build overall has been so weak that I think WWE's kind of flirting with disaster a little bit, where I think that might be part of the reason they broke up the Hurt Business, because I think Vince didn't want fans going crazy for the Hurt Business and not cheering as for Drew. But I think when you're talking about this year's WrestleMania, usually it draws, an international crowd, like fans of every walk of life. But this year, I feel like most of the fans that are going to be at Mania are going to be diehard fans. Like the people that are going are hardcore fans. I don't see many, like, fathers and casual fans taking their kids and I'm sure there'll be some, but I think for the most part, you're going to get the fickle fan, and with the build that they've had, they're putting a lot of pressure on the performers to overcome a lot of hurdles WWE has placed in their way.
I agree, and I think I think coming down to it, it's going to be there's got to be some rhyme or reason. Like they, even with the, like, you take a look at like Oscar Rhea Ripley. People are like furious over, oh, Ripley just comes out and she gets a title. Number one, you get mad when NXT people come in and they don't get recognized for their accomplishments. Number two, who is it exactly that you wanted Asuka to face? Charlotte had her thing with Andrade. She's obviously paying for it in some sense of the word. Lacey Evans got pregnant. There was a huge buildup for her. She was originally supposed to beat Asuka for the title. It was supposed to be Lacey Evans and Charlotte at Mania. That got nicked. She got pregnant. You got Baszler and Jax who are the women's tag champions. You want to defend the belts on WrestleMania. Of course, that's what you're going to do with them. There's a build and a storyline for them. Were you going to be overly excited if Liv Morgan versus Asuka at WrestleMania? No. So you bring in the gun, Rhea Ripley, and you do what you have to do. Was it booked poorly? Absolutely. 100% agree with you. But WWE, the hands were tied there. And, I honestly would be – I'm more excited for this than I would have been Charlotte Asuka and having Charlotte win. Nothing against Charlotte, but I just felt like – I felt like this is a better option. What I'd be more pissed off about is Bayley not being on WrestleMania card. But I've been following her Twitter. She hasn't seemed to be upset about certain things, so – I'm assuming that a talk show is going to be a part of WrestleMania and there's something big planned for her. Maybe there's a certain legend that she's going to be interviewing or something like that. She's going to get involved with. So, I mean, usually, like, you know, Andrade posted about Charlotte not being on the card and being upset. Charlotte posted about being upset, not being on. Bayley hasn't done that. And Bayley's a very vocal person. Her and Banks pretty much held out of their contracts for a couple months until they got pushed properly. So she must like what's going on for her.
I 100% agree. And to add on to that, in my interactions with her on social media, I've seen that she's been posting a lot of backstage stuff. And she's been working out a lot. So I just don't see why she'd be like, you know, doing all these workouts and still be hanging out backstage if she doesn't have something at Mania. I feel like she'd be home, you know, waiting to come back the week after.
Yeah.
As far as Ripley, I don't mind that she got a title shot the way she did. The only thing that upsets me is that they didn't stop the story earlier. They had a little bit more time that they could have told a better story. I mean, I think they advertised her to return to Raw like 2 weeks before she actually did. So I would have rather seen them take those two extra weeks to add to this a little bit.
But, yeah. And also, let's not forget, too, Asuka had surgery on her mouth because Shayna Baszler kicked it too. So, like, I'm pretty sure that they probably would have done this sometime at Fastlane and would have built this up a little bit better. But I think given the circumstances of Asuka dealing with an injury – Look, Ripley versus Asuka is a dream match. I'm glad we're getting it on the grandest stage of them all. Does it feel rushed and forced and it only has 2 weeks of prep time? Yeah, it kind of sucks, but I'm going to take the good with that. Like, you know, we're getting – I think that's going to be a great match. I don't see how it's not going to be. Them two are going to do a good – and Rhea Ripley's going to be – that's one I can 100% – Rhea Ripley's going to be your Raw Women's Champ. And because I know that they're going to want to retouch that Charlotte-Rhea Ripley feud again. And there's a couple things. Shirai's going to be getting called up. I'm pretty certain on that.
Yeah, I agree. And I would say the only other thing that I probably enjoyed on Raw was the Riddle and Ali match was pretty good.
I agree on that aspect too. I think Riddle and Ali was good. I think they've that's when they've done a good transition to Sheamus from Ali to Sheamus for Riddle. I also think Keith Lee's coming back. soon. So I'm pretty sure he's going to take the U.S. title either off of Riddle as a heel, or he's going to take it off Sheamus. So maybe they put it on Sheamus so he could take it off him, because originally Keith Lee was supposed to win the U.S. title. I'm pretty sure they're going to give it to him when he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope they put it on Sheamus, especially since Riddle is pretty much, I mean, his whole thing is these backstage jokes. He doesn't need to have a title. You're going to keep doing these silly segments with him. So Sheamus has earned it. He deserves it. I'd like to see him win the title. And against a Keith Lee would be great. They would have amazing matches. And if Vince is worried at all about Keith Lee's in-ring work when it comes to being on Raw, I would think Sheamus is a perfect person to pair him with to get him trained to the WWE standards.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sheamus will get him. They were building something with Drew at some point with them three. And that's the thing that kills me too, is people will sit there and be like, Vince booked Keith Lee wrong. No, he destroyed his theme music, made him wear a singlet, but he's actually booked Keith Lee when healthy pretty consistently. I don't have the problem with what they booked Keith Lee with. I think my issue was the theme music originally. Like, he couldn't keep his, like, people loved his theme music. The singlet, whatever. Vince has always had a problem with tubby toots. I'm a tubby toot. Vince has always had a problem with tubby toots. I've noticed that. It's been that way since the 80s with Bam Bam and One Man Gang. And the only one that got the pass was Kamala, you know. And even then, like, that gimmick is kind of skeptic in today's standard. So I've just always, like, he made Owens lose weight. He's made Bray lose weight. He's just always had a problem with chubby guys, and it's just how he's always been, I guess. I mean, I don't make it right, but I mean, I think he's booking Keith Lee appropriately, and I think once he gets back and gets on track and becomes a U.S. champion, I think he'll start getting in the world title picture by the end of the year.
Yeah, I hope so. Was there anything to highlight from SmackDown, or anything that stood out to you?
From SmackDown, it was some good promos by Edge. Nothing really too much. It was a good show. I think they did some good promos. I'm excited for a lot of what SmackDown's doing. They got me re-excited for the Intercontinental title match again. I hope they give it to Apollo and he has a decent run with it.
Yeah, I'm interested to find out what a Nigerian drum fight is.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what that fight is too. I am very curious to see what a Nigerian drum fight is. But I'm sure there's going to be it's going to be a good intercom. I'm excited for it. I think that's another feud where it's like I got really excited for it, then I didn't, and then the Fastlane match made me not excited for it, and then they built me right and hooked me right back in on it.
Yeah, they've got me interested now again with this unknown match. They didn't give us many hints. I really enjoyed Edge's return to the Rated R Superstar. I think he's like a master on the mic, and it's almost like his second return now, because now like the real Edge is back.
Right. And it's going to be, I'm 100% or certain Edge is pinning Brian. And because I think Raw needs Roman more than anything, more than now, more than ever. The dream matches for Roman are on Raw. You want him to face Drew. You want him to face Lashley. You're going to want him on Raw, especially if Drew stays. You got to get him and Drew. If Drew comes to SmackDown or if Roman goes to Raw, like, you got to get them two in a program.
I think out of all the matches on WrestleMania, this one's been built the best. And I know a lot of people don't like that Brian was inserted, but the more time that goes by, I like it more and more. I think they've done a good job of casting doubt, where I kind of agree, where I think Edge is going to pin Bryan, but I could also make a case for it to go every other way too. So I think they've done a good job of adding a little bit of doubt now, where you kind of don't really know for sure. Because part of me still thinks that Roman is going to keep it.
With what all three of them have done in wrestling and what they had to overcome, anybody who gets mad that Daniel Bryan was like the backstory alone should tell you why he was inserted in that match. Edge attributes to his comeback because of Daniel Bryan and Bryan actually reaching out to him, like letting him like, yo, there's a way you can do this. You can come back. Like, and not for nothing. Like I'm, that is what I'm most excited for is the main event on night two. And I think it was booked properly. I don't think adding Daniel Bryan was a problem. Was it ever a problem? No. I think it only makes the match better because you have two guys kind of with similar work styles and Reigns and Edge, and Bryan mixes that up. You know, he's a technical guy, submission guy. You know, as much as, you know, Roman and Edge are built differently, they both have the spear. They both have very similar, like, power-ish type movesets. They're not going to, like, overly flash it. Like, Brian's going to come in there and add a different dynamic to it.
I think the real story to this match is everything these guys have had to go through to get back in a ring. I mean, even Roman Reigns with the cancer thing. I really hope that absolutely. They play that up before the match and they give us a good part of that story. And I just love that no matter who wins in this match, I won't be disappointed. I'll love whoever walks out. I'll be happy, and because I like the possibilities after Mania of what you can do now. You can go singles match with the winner and, you know, any one of the other two.
Exactly. And I think also too, you know, if Roman doesn't get pinned, because I believe the draft's right after Money in the Bank. I think that's what it is, or the week before Money in the Bank. It's really weird the way they book it. It's like the week before a pay-per-view or the week after. So if it's the week after, I think Jimmy comes back on WrestleMania. I think that's another surprise is Jimmy comes back, but I think he like prevents Roman from retaining and tries to like get his brother back, and then they have a match with Jimmy and Roman before Roman gets him converted and jump ship to go face, you know, because Raw needs tag teams probably more than SmackDown, and it's sad to say because the tag team division is just atrocious. You get the Usos back, you bring them to Raw. It doesn't seem like they're breaking up Shelton and Cedric Alexander, which is good because I think they're a great tag team. You can have them, the Usos. I think you move the New Day over and then maybe bring another SmackDown tag team, maybe bring Gable and Otis over. But it comes down to, you know, WWE needs Jimmy back. They need the Usos back. They have very, very – I mean, as sad as I am to say this, I think Omos and AJ are winning the titles on Raw, and I think it's just they just want to give AJ the tag titles. So, you know, because it's one of the belts he hasn't gotten yet, so they're probably just going to give him the tag. But the dynamic of it is, look, the main events are going to be great. SmackDown's just done a better job of telling the story. And I don't think it's Raw's fault. I think there's a lot of injuries and other stuff. I will say the main event with Drew and Bobby, that's all Raw's fault. That's all. I don't know why they did that. I have theories, but that's just insane to me. But SmackDown just tells a better story. And I think getting Paul Heyman on Raw will really help tremendously with the way Raw's being booked right now.
Yeah, I mean, dude, speaking of Omos, I mean, and AJ, they had a rematch of AJ and Woods. We just saw that last week. Like, and now here we go again. I mean, it was a quick match with a roll-up, but, like, they taped this Raw after the last Raw, and they didn't even have Omos change his shirt. Like, he was wearing the same shirt from last week's.
The same exact shirt. They could have – what they could have done to – I mean, you could have just switched it up and did AJ versus Kofi. Like, could have done that.
He does not need the tag titles. AJ Styles is AJ Styles. The real AJ Styles fans do not give a shit if he gets the tag titles. And to be honest, I think that the women's tag division is looking better right now. It's
I like the women's tag division.
It's shaping up. They installed that tag turmoil, whatever gauntlet match thing, and they've got a handful of decent teams. I think Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke have been pretty good for a team that was thrown together. There's a lot of potential.
And I'll say this, as much as people are hating on it and like, oh, it should have been Bay Mella, I kind of like the dynamic of Billie Kay and Carmella with Carmella's new gimmick. I think she would fit with Mella right now. I mean, and everyone's like, oh, you should have just stuck her, never broke up the Iconics and just stuck her there. Because, no, I think Peyton Royce is ready for singles competition now, and I think she's going to get a good push moving forward.
Yeah, I really like it too. And as of tonight, Tuesday night, they haven't announced it yet, but they screwed up and tweeted a photo of Carmella and Billie Kay in the match and then deleted it, and they still haven't announced it. But I love Carmella. I think she's underrated. I think she's come a long, long way since her days with Enzo and Cass. I think in the future she deserves a good title run. And I'm interested to see her and Billie Kay. I think that would be really good.
I think it's a good fit for her with what she's doing now. I don't think her and Bailey would be a good fit at all. And I think, you know, and I think Dakota Kai is going to be coming up, and she's going to be like Bailey's Ed McMahon on that talk show, and they're going to be a tag team, and they're going to do some stuff like that. I know. There's quite a few, I think, call-ups from NXT you're going to see, because NXT is overloaded right now, and they need to they need to bring some, you know, they got a bunch of new talent coming in, they have the extra show, but they're still overloaded with talent, and that's a tribute to some of their main guys not wanting to leave NXT, which kudos to Triple H. But we're going to see some guys get called up after this and stand to deliver, and might as well kick right into the preview of Standard Deliver, which starts tomorrow. Ryan, what match are you absolutely over the moon for that's not a main event?
I'm trying to think of which matches are on night one. It's kind of all become a mush now, trying to remember all the different cards this week. But I don't know, man. It keeps changing for me. Like, at first, I was most excited for Balor and Cross, and then I was kind of more excited for O'Reilly and Cole. But now I'm really excited for Walter and Ciampa. So
Walter and Ciampa is going to be great. That's.
I just think this is going to be one of the best takeovers in a long time.
It is. I mean, there's so many matches. I am excited for the triple threat tag match. I'm really excited for Santos Escobar versus Devlin. I think that match is going to be the most underrated match on the card. I think they're really going to steal a show there. I'm excited. I'm excited for Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez. I am excited for that. I think it's time for Shirai to drop the belt, and Raquel Gonzalez is probably the most deserving right now, and probably it's probably going to be one of her biggest pushes, you know, probably even in WWE when she gets called up. I don't think she gets pushed that hard in WWE right away, but I think Shirai versus Gonzalez is going to be a good one. I'm with you. I go back and forth with Balor and Cross, and Cole and O'Reilly, but I'm also excited about the Gauntlet match too. I mean, all my favorites are in there right now. Cameron Grimes, LA Knight's in there, Dexter Lumis. These are all characters that I like stand behind. Even Bronson Reed, like. I'm excited for everybody that's in that match. I think it's going to be a solid match. And I'm also excited. I'm excited for the whole thing, Ryan. I can't keep.
Yeah, I'm excited for every match. And for that gauntlet match, I'm thinking it's either Reed, Lumis, or Knight. I can see one of those three getting it.
Yeah. I think with the way they're building LA Knight's character, it makes sense for him to beat Johnny. Or come really close to beating Johnny, because he's this cocky, arrogant, gold-chasing, you know, wrestler. And I just think it makes a lot of sense to put the strap on him. Johnny doesn't need the belt. And I think Johnny this year is going to be in more main event stuff anyway. What he's doing with the Way is incredible. And I think, I mean, we still haven't got Balor Gargano yet. So, like, that's going to have to happen soon. Like, you know, you're going to have, like, a bunch of stuff. And Ciampa's going to go in go to the NXT UK for a couple months. He's going to come back. Like, there's still some dream matches with Balor that haven't happened yet. So, I think they're going to do the run of the run of it all. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then, since we're talking NXT, WrestleMania, a lot of stuff too, bringing in different segments and trying to, like, you know, appease to some of you guys. I actually asked a couple people from the TikTok community to ask me some questions that they watched. Some of them watched the show. One of them said and wanted to ask us, name three guys from NXT that you can almost see getting called up after Mania, and who do you think they are? All right, I'll let you start, or if you want me to start, it doesn't matter. I have a few ideas on this.
Three guys to be called up?
Yeah, three guys from NXT that you would like to see called up.
None of them. I don't want anybody to be called up from NXT, to be honest. I want everybody to stay in NXT. There's nobody I want called up.
Well, it's three guys that you can predict.
Karrion Kross would be one. I think he could survive the call-up. Io Shirai, I would like to see her get called up, and I'd like to see her and Asuka. And there's so many of them. Cameron Grimes would be entertaining. I know Vince loves all that comedy stuff. I think they actually use him because they just have him doing nonstop silly stuff.
Oh yeah, they would definitely utilize Cameron Grimes to the fullest extent of WWE. I'll go three different ones that aren't typical. I'm going to go Bronson Reed as one of the call-ups. I could see him being a guy who's getting called up soon. Cross was my – I'm going to say this one, and I'm going to say this is a spite move from Vince. I think Santos Escobar is going to get called up and pushed to the moon out of spite for Andrade. That's exactly why I say it, and it's the only reason why I'm saying it. Vince will call him up and probably bring up El Fantasma with him and push him, as Cameron Grimes would say, to the moon out of spite of the whole Andrade situation. You know, Vince likes to give those subtle jabs to certain wrestlers that he feels, you know, he feels a certain way about, and I'm pretty sure he feels a certain way about Andrade.
Yeah, well, they've been looking to replace Del Rio for a long time with someone similar to him, so they can appeal to Mexican fans. And I could easily see that. I know they love him. They're high on him because he speaks good English. He looks like $1 million. I love him. I wouldn't mind seeing him get called up either. And Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed would be a good big man to have on one of those shows.
And then my last one, I was going to do a woman here, but we're pretty much on the same boat with Shirai. I'm saying Dakota Kai, and there may be a couple others, but I'm going to go, I'm going to go Dexter Lumis. I think Lumis is a guy, once again, he could survive without Bronson Reed. I'm nervous for, but the other two, I'm not. I think Santos Escobar is absolute gold, and he will get pushed. He will be a world heavyweight champion within 2 years in WWE. There's no denying it. They need a tag team. They bring up El Fantasma with them and push it. That's perfectly fine. I think those three right there will be three main call-ups. If you want me to give a 1A, I'm going to say the Grizzled Young Veterans might get called up and be and kind of be the role that the Revival should have been. But I always worry about tag teams when they get called up.
Yeah, I give away about anybody get called up.
I worry. The 2018 class, what went into 2019, makes me very worried about anybody that gets called up. But you can't mess up Karrion Kross. You can't mess up Santos. You can't mess these guys up. You absolutely can't. I hope none of them get called up, but I know they're trying to make room, and they're going to actually cross some guys over. There's hints that Daniel Bryan wants to do a short run in NXT. That's very possible. We'll see.
That's what I'm waiting for.
We will definitely
see Bryan go down there.
I think, you know, I don't mark out for much. But I would there's one thing I would mark out for is Daniel Bryan on the black and gold brand. I would be such a fanboy at that point to see that and be extremely excited for all the potential matchups that you can get. We can go into the Hall of Fame at this point. I didn't catch most. I caught most of it. There was some of it. I watched it on my phone. I really liked Kane's Hall of Fame speech. That was probably my favorite out of all of them. I didn't mind the Bellas. And I wasn't a big fan of the NWO one. Ryan, what were some of your favorites?
This show was hard to sit through, man. It was like the fake applause and the awkward crowd shots and cheers, and it felt so forced and so awkward. It was hard to get through. I thought RVD had the best speech. I thought he was pretty humble, and I liked how he talked about the fans and stuff. That was my favorite. And also the fact that William Shatner apparently is 90 years old, and if you saw what he looked like tonight, he doesn't even look 70 years old. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was. It was pretty unbearable. I wish they would replace the fake applause with the Braun Strowman choo choo train. Just please, just replace it with the choo choo. At least that I can get behind. Let's get the Braun Strowman choo-choo instead of fake applause. Rob Van Dam's one of my favorites of all time. He's definitely in my top 10 favorite wrestlers of all time. I was happy to see him in. I didn't catch all of it. I caught some of it. I think it was at the time my kid was crying for, like, no reason whatsoever. So I had this, can't pause on Peacock. So... I had to miss a few minutes of that, but RVD had a good speech. I really liked Kane's the Bellas didn't, I didn't mind it so much. I really liked, I will say this, I did like Titus's acceptance speech for the award, for the Warrior Award too. That was another one I
Did you
liked.
catch in his speech? I feel like he kind of indirectly like addressed the whole Hogan situation, or even for some people that have criticized, you know, there even being a Warrior Award because of some of the things Warrior had said when he was alive. Because he said in his speech, you know, about, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, you know, loving people no matter what, whether you like them or not, and like, but he, just the way he made the comment, was like, you may not like them. It kind of felt like it was him addressing, like, the, you know, him having a host with Hogan, like, hey, I don't like them, but I'm gonna treat him fairly and love him because I'm a Christian and I'm a good guy. And
yeah, which is, you know, and that's, you know, that's Titus being the bigger man. He's always been that way. I'm happy for him in some degree. I wish, you know, I wish they gave Shad an award for the Warrior Award. Hopefully they do that next year with fans. He does deserve one. Rest in peace, Shad Gaspar. People who don't know his story, like, he lost his life trying to save his son. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like, you know, that one should be due next. I did like Titus's speech. and I did like that. I did catch that, how he paraphrased that. And let's see if Hogan mans up, brother. Let's see if he mans up.
That's not going to happen. Also, when the Bellas did their presentation, WWE piped in fake crowd noise chanting one more match. So I'm assuming we're going to get one more Bella Twins match somewhere down the road.
Yeah, I, you know, they have to want to throw the tag titles on them for some, you know, just for notoriety of it. Like, I'm assuming, you know, they'd be down for like a quick run with them.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, we're getting something, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get something. I think, you know, whatever. I'm indifferent on the Bella Twins. I think, you know, I don't think they're terrible. I think they're decent workers, and they have notoriety, and, you know, they helped the women's revolution, so to speak. So I don't want to, you know, I'm not something I'm to the moon about, but it is something that I would be interested to see if they do put the tag titles on them, and they're a tag team that would, you'd want to see on both brands anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be a fan of someone to appreciate their accomplishments, and I wasn't the biggest Bella Twins fan,
yeah,
but I acknowledge their contributions. And I mean,
yeah,
aside from wrestling, they've been huge for WWE, just all the money they've drawn,
yeah,
and from the Bella show and everything else they do.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, you know, kudos to Nikki Bella for having to put up with all those weird rules John Cena had in his house. She had to sign it. Like, kudos just for that alone, she gets my
and
respect.
Their household names, like, my wife doesn't know much about wrestling, but she damn sure knows who the Bella Twins are.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people complain about The Miz. He's a household name now. My wife knows who The Miz is. She doesn't really watch wrestling that much. You know, like, that's, she's like, oh yeah, that's the one who's married to Maryse. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's how you know him. But it's like shows like that, they you know, they put over shows, they help people, like, you know, and kudos to them. They've done a lot for the WWE, and they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, no questions asked. I wasn't a super fan of their work, but I do appreciate it. You know, the,
they did the best with what they had to work with, I thought, with this. I mean, it was, I thought it was bad, but given the circumstances, WWE did the best they could. You know, people were complaining. I see people complaining all the time for Hall of Fames of how long they would go. And now this year, I saw people complaining when they found out that each segment was going to be, like, really short. People were saying it wasn't long enough. They wanted to hear stories. Like, so you can't please everybody.
Here's a quick rant on this, and I agree with you. You can't please. I firmly believe in Vince's ideology of this. Fans don't know what they want until they have it. They complain about everything. everything under the sun that has to do with WWE they complain about. And then when they get, you know, and then they make excuses for other companies. Oh, they're, you know, at least they're not doing this for years on it. I think this is notable and a good time to bring this up. AEW has announced that Mike Tyson's going to be appearing on AEW Dynamite Wednesday. Tony's announcing that it's something big. So Tony is pulling strings for a gimmick, knowing that he's going to lose viewers to Stand and Deliver. And I don't think Mike Tyson's going to be able to save it. I think I think the ideology of you hate Vince for bringing in people like Bad Bunny and who's dedicating, working his ass off to become like a good wrestler and give you a good match at WrestleMania. And we're going to applaud Iron Mike Tyson, which been there, done that with the WWE, and Shaq also been there, done that with the WWE. Like, they're doing the same exact thing that you complain about with WWE, but it's okay because it's AEW. I get it.
Yeah, I agree. It's easy to put all the blame on Vince all the time and for people to lash out at him. I'm guilty of picking wrestling apart and being negative and not being happy and being fickle. But at the end of the day, I kind of give Vince a little leeway because, I mean, he's been doing it for so long and he kind of, with me, kind of gets like the Bill Belichick treatment if you're a Patriots fan. So like, and Bill I trust, and Vince I trust. Like, it,
yeah.
Because sometimes you just don't, yeah. That's why, like, I'm interested to see, you know, how I feel after the completion of Mania about the whole Hurt Business breakup. Like, who knows? We don't, he could have something planned where we'll just, a light bulb will go off and be like, oh, okay, now I get it. Like, you don't know. Probably wrong.
Exactly.
It's probably just going to be absolutely no follow through with it. And it's, I'm still probably going to hate it, but I mean, I can dream.
Yeah. It's also too, like, you look at this as it's the obvious stuff too, and you know, Vince is dealing. You know, he had COVID break from a full year. It was shut down. It's been like a full year. This is really cumulative. You know, this is, you know, WrestleMania. Last year's WrestleMania, zero fans. They had to work on the fly, and they put together a decent WrestleMania for what they had to work with. And you know, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, pregnancies, COVID issues. A lot of stuff had to get adjusted on the fly, especially for WrestleMania, but it's going to be monumental. And night one's going to be monumental just for that first pop. Just to hear that alone is going to be monumental to me. I just, you know, it gives me hope. Like, you know, like, wow, I'm gonna watch WrestleMania and there's gonna be fans. I'm gonna watch a wrestling pay-per-view. There's gonna be fans actually cheering, and I'm overly excited about that in itself.
Yeah, I'm that's more what makes excited, me excited. For that, I think, than anything. And it's gonna be sad when Mania is over and we gotta go back to a new version of the Thunderdome. I'm gonna miss the fans. It's yes. Gonna be a little tease. But yeah, that's the most exciting part.
Well, from what I'm hearing is Vince is planning on keeping the Thunderdome for the.
I'm back.
I actually just looked and seen that your name is Cuckoo Bananas. That's great. Oh man, Cuckoo Bananas. But yeah, what I was saying, I'm really excited, and what I was getting to on my point before Anchor rudely interrupted us was that Vince is working on trying to get the pay-per-views with fans and culminating that with Texas and a couple other states that are actually at full capacity. We could be seeing that, I wouldn't say Money in the Bank, but probably shortly after that, because he's, you know, we got SummerSlam too that we're going to have to build for. And if we can get the big four this year with fans, I'll be happy with that. If, you know, a couple others too, I'd be okay with. But I'm hoping that we're going to get a SummerSlam with fans, we'll get Survivor Series with fans, and we'll get a rumble with fans moving forward.
Yeah, that would, it would be better than nothing to at least get the major pay-per-views with some fans. There's only a handful of states that they could probably get away with it, but if they do it for the right pay-per-views, it'll be special.
I think the states is Florida, Texas, Mississippi, I want to say, and I think Tennessee is going to full capacity soon, so it's maybe it's possible. I don't see them coming up anywhere around us in New England anytime soon. But especially with it's weird. So reading an article, Mass is actually up with their COVID stuff now. They did a big jump. They might actually step back and go back a step, and then Texas is actually down from what I'm hearing. So whatever. Just have to figure it out.
I saw that too.
Yeah. So
it's nuts.
But we'll figure, you know, we'll have to they'll have to plan accordingly. I'm sure there's not gonna be extensive traveling, especially with COVID guidelines and stuff, but I'm sure the four big ones we'll start getting fans at, and then we'll start moving into some normalcy. I'm hoping by next year I'll be able to take my kid to a wrestling show. I know that's what I'm hoping for soon.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, so other than that, we previewed WrestleMania. We previewed the last thing we could talk about is Chris Jericho, AEW superstar, is actually going to be on the Stone Cold podcast. Monumental news. I like CM Punk's take on it, probably the best. Everybody's flipping out saying, oh, they're gonna merge, they're gonna do all this stuff, and they're gonna be, no, not gonna happen, not one bit. I think what Punk said is this. Two things you can take from this. Vince doesn't look at AEW as a threat at all. Not one bit. And B, he respects the hell out of Jericho. Those are the two things you could take from this.
And Stone Cold.
Yeah, and Stone Cold.
If it was somebody else, I think he might have said no, but he knows he can trust Stone Cold. Stone Cold is a WWE guy, and he's not going to put Vince in a compromising position.
Exactly. I think in this aspect of it, this is exactly what you could take from it. I don't think Jericho has bad feelings about the WWE. And to be honest with you, he's never really publicly bashed the WWE. And it's monumental in the fact that, like, we've never had this before, but people need to slow the fuck down.
They're fantasy booking this thing to the moon, and it's so ridiculous because I guarantee you, you're not even going to hear the words, the letters AEW on that podcast. They're going to sit and talk about Jericho's WWE career.
Exactly. And I tell people, did you freak out this much when Billy Gunn was at the Hall of Fame and he was signed to AEW? Did you, like, it's not something that is completely out of question. It's not a big major company, and it's not a big major threat to Vince at all. And kudos to Vince, kudos to Stone Cold, kudos to Jericho. I'm excited for this. I can't wait for it to come out. I really want to catch it. I'm intrigued by it, but nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, I think it's really smart.
Yeah.
It's good for business.
You know, and So, the other rumor mill, and we're gonna both put this, because this is, we're gonna put this as a no sell on the Jericho AEW people freaking out about possible merging shows and getting WWE people in AEW. Like, no sell on this. Please stop it. It's never gonna happen. If Vince wants his wrestlers to be on that show, he'll buy it. That's exactly what he'll do. He doesn't. He's not gonna. You're not gonna see Roman Reigns go to AEW and wrestle Kenny Omega. Just not gonna happen. Sorry. The other one, It's there was a Triple H interview. We talked about the Bad Bunny part of it. They actually asked him about CM Punk, and he said that he hasn't talked to him for about a year and a half. And he said, when he's ready, my door's open. He'll, you know, he has to be ready to come back, but my door will always be open to him. The fact that we're still talking about this is just insane. And Phil Brooks is possibly the greatest self-promoter ever in wrestling history. This guy hasn't been in a ring since 2014. And a WWE since 2014. And we're still talking about this. He's been teasing everybody on social media. Triple H kind of buried it a little bit. Is this a sell or no sell about a CM Punk WWE return in the future, Ryan?
No sell. I'm so tired of the CM Punk thing every week. It's nauseating. I like CM Punk. I hate CM Punk fans because I'm so sick of hearing about this return. Like, it's not even, I don't know. I saw that thing and Triple H said something about maybe Punk doesn't want it or something like that. And I think that's the case. When he wants it, he's going to do it if he wants it.
Right.
I know they actually asked CM Punk somewhere about what was more likely, him to return to MMA or wrestling. And he said that he had too many gray hairs or something for MMA. So he didn't shoot down wrestling, but
yes.
I don't want to hear about it until it's written in stone.
That's it. I'm going to no sell it for now, but I'm going to say possible itch return in like 5 years. I'll sell that.
How old is Punk now? I want to know. Like, well, he's, I guess that doesn't matter. We've seen what Flair's done and all these other old guys.
Yeah. He's got to be late 30s, early 40s, maybe. Maybe even like, I don't know. He's got to be somewhere. I think early 40s would be the accurate description of him. The other big talk is about Enzo and Cass have been teasing a lot about Mania. And it may be a hidden surprise here. I've bit into the pudding. I'm selling this about 30%, maybe 40, but Enzo and Cass returning, Ryan, are you selling it? You no selling it? What are you doing?
I'm no selling it because I think I'm trying to remember what it was specifically, but I think I even saw him like insulting the WWE today, throwing shade at him somehow. So I don't know. I'm no selling it.
No selling. Yeah, I was high on this at one point. It slowly diminished for me. I was at 50-50 at this point. I'm more 30, possible 40. With that, I'm now more like 20-30%. I'm going to no sell this. But I wouldn't be surprised if they made an NXT. I know Triple H loves them too. I wouldn't be surprised more to go back there in that aspect. The other room is circle. Well, let's do a quick rundown of sell or no sell. Big surprises for WrestleMania that could possibly happen. One is Keith Lee return. Sell or no sell on that?
Ooh, it's a tough one, but I would lean more towards sell on that.
I'm going to lean towards sell. I think even if he's not wrestling, he comes out and challenges the winner of the U.S. title, or he makes an impact on that match. Will give you a world of difference.
It could be on like Raw or something, but it could very easily be WrestleMania. But I just feel like out of all the possible surprises, I feel like if you're gonna get many surprises on WrestleMania this year, they're gonna be in-house. Like, I don't think you're gonna see many outsiders coming in. It's gonna be guys that have maybe been off the show for a while or have been injured or.
Fully agree on that. Aleister Black has been dealing with minor injuries, quote-unquote. He's been going to the Performance Center every week, trying to get back on track. may not be for Mania, but maybe shortly after. Sell or no sell? And this is the question. Is Aleister Black faking injuries to kind of try to run on his contract? Are you selling that or no selling it?
I'm no selling him faking injuries. I'm selling him possibly returning because I've been seeing people say that he's been seen in the performance center like a lot in the past few weeks. So
I'm going to sell that he's coming back. And I think he's going to honor his contract. I don't think, and I think if they do right by him, I don't think he'll leave. I don't think his issue, I know the stuff that happened with Zelina Vega, that's his wife. I get it, but I still, you know, I still feel like, you know, if they do right by him, he may find a way to stay. The next, what was the next one that we were, I was going to bring into, all right, sell or no sell. Night one of NXT is going to be better than both nights of Mania. Selling or no selling on this?
I can't picture the specific NXT card for night one in my head, but I would think as a whole, NXT night one and two will be better than WrestleMania night one and two.
I'm going to sell this. I think WrestleMania is going to be good. But I just think NXT is going to bring it to a whole different level. I think the room is really, I think the stuff that people say about Vince with Triple H, I think Triple H takes it a little bit to heart and he's going to deliver. He always delivers on TakeOver. I fully expect TakeOver Night 1 to be just, hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I fully expect TakeOver Night 1 to fully be probably better than both nights of WrestleMania.
I retract mine. I'm no selling it.
No selling it.
WrestleMania wins because they get the crowd.
That's it. You know, that's a nice dynamic there. And then the last sell or no sell. Fans will actually boo Drew McIntyre coming out. Sell or no sell?
No sell. No sell. Not coming out. Holding the title, maybe.
Holding the title, maybe. I'm gonna no sell this as well. I think Drew's done phenomenal work all through this year. I think he gets a huge pop at WrestleMania. Other than that, is there anything else that we didn't cover that we should be covering?
Yes, I just want to give Sami Zayn the credit he deserves for his performance on SmackDown with the red carpet premiere.
That's what we didn't talk about. Yes. His dance moves were on fire, too, when Logan Paul
was the highlight out of my week have been the memes and the videos of him dancing. They're, like, putting them to all kinds of different songs. It's been wonderful.
Yes. Yes, it is. And then it has been very wonderful. Sammy's been gold. Kevin and Sammy's going to be a big highlight at WrestleMania. I'm hoping for a huge pop for that match. Other match I'm looking forward to is Rollins and Cesaro. I think those two are going to be great matches on the undercard.
Yeah. But yes. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. In Rollins and Cesaro, Rollins, I thought, had an outstanding promo on SmackDown with Cesaro. And I just feel like they kind of hurt Cesaro a little bit there because the contrast is so night and day between the two. They just kind of pointed out Cesaro's flaws. He had some good lines like where he said, oh, Rollins, you may not be unshakable. You may be unshakable, but you're not unswingable. And then he told him to step up and take a swing. Like, he had a couple good lines, but I kind of thought they hung him out to dry there.
Yeah. And then I did like what I've liked this promo. I love the promo when, you know, he was in his face and he said, you know, I was like, you're not ready for this. There's a reason why you've been this and I've been at this tier and you are not on my level. And I love the work Rollins has been doing, which leads me to the original sell or no sell that I wanted to do. So we'll do this here. Sell or no sell, Becky Lynch makes a return at WrestleMania.
No sell, because I'm not sure that her baby is even more than 6 months old at this point right now.
I'm going to sell this. I'm going to sell this pretty high. I think she does come back. And I think she comes back immediately after Rhea Ripley wins. And I think that's going to be the next big feud. She may not be. I think she's going to appear at WrestleMania. I don't think she'll be on TV consistently, but I think she's going to appear at WrestleMania, and she will be feuding with Rhea Ripley probably by SummerSlam.
That would certainly make people forget about Charlotte not being there.
They're going to have to do something, and that's probably the thing they're going to do is probably bring Becky out. Or maybe she's the special guest on Ding Dong Hello.
Maybe.
There's a bunch of possibilities there. I think Becky, that's probably the highest one I'm on, is I think that's my 80% sell on that. I think she appears at WrestleMania.
What about Brock? What about the possibility of Bobby Lashley winning and Brock coming out post-match? So no sell.
Oh, I'm going to no sell this. You're the one who kind of talked me into this about the Canada thing, and I think I've looked into it, and I think you're right. I think I think Cena might be more of a possibility than Brock, but I'm going to no sell this right now. I think I don't think he appears for WrestleMania, but you should see him soon.
Yeah, I'm going to no sell. I think you should see him soon, mainly because of the Canada thing, and also, not to let you down, but I think Cena did like an interview today for the Suicide Squad movie. He's on set filming it, and it was like a live interview from the set in Canada.
So he's not coming either.
He's not coming.
We're no selling them all. That still leaves Dwayne. That still leaves Dwayne to come out.
Texas, I think. Texas WrestleMania, that's his spot.
But if Roman Cena of Hollywood. If Roman does win and Dwayne does come out and challenges him to next year at WrestleMania, like he did with Cena, I'm going to challenge you next year at WrestleMania, me versus you. I could see that happening as well.
That's true. I forgot that they've done that.
Yeah, that's a possibility there. He could come out at the end of WrestleMania. All of a sudden, Roman celebrating, boom. If you smell what The Rock is cooking, gets in Roman's face, says he's the real head of the table, and we'll see you next year at WrestleMania to prove it.
Oh, wow, yeah. Fruity Pebbles, man. I can't remember the complaining people did during that era with that whole – I mean, they took a whole year to build that match. I would kill for that again.
Yeah, I would love a year build between Roman and Rock, and he comes in periodically to do things. Especially with the whole head of the table thing, like you know how much he would, you know how what Rock would do with that. That would be absolute gold. So I'm gonna put a 50-50 sell on that. If Roman wins, it's a 50-50 sell. I think that wraps up our show for today. We have a lot of we previewed a lot of stuff. We will be back in 2 days to recap NXT. I'm sure our enthusiasm is going to be through the roof. Sorry, we're not doing any AEW stuff this week. I am not dedicating any time to AEW. I will catch the recap next week. We'll recap AEW sometime next week. And I think other than that, this is the gimmick. Ryan, thank you for having me on. Fans, thank you for listening. And I'll be on TikTok asking more questions for the show. Please, if you have any questions, let us know. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week for a recap of – we'll be back in 2 days for a recap of Stand and Deliver. Have a good day, guys.